Man, it's great to have you guys here. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And last week, we looked at this idea. We asked the question, what if we're to stop merely going to church? We actually became the church. And man, we got a lot of good, I got a lot of feedback. God is challenging some of you, and I love to see what God is doing. Today, the question that I'm going to be responding to and asking is a little more personal in nature. I want you to ask yourself this question. What if I took my next step? What if I took the next step to which God is calling me? Because I believe that God calls us to next steps. There's this big word that we talk about from time to time. It's a biblical word, but we don't always know what it means. It's sanctification. Okay, what that big word literally means, it's the process by which we are made more and more like Jesus Christ, and the fact that it is a process implies that there's ongoing growth that happens. But many times when God calls us to take that next step, we respond to him with excuses as to why we can't do what he's calling us to do, or why there's no way that I could ever be who he's calling me to be, right? Have you ever made excuses?
No.
Somebody said no. I don't believe you at all. You ever been around a parent that makes excuses for their kids?
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. You know that. You know, you have them over to your house and they got the little kid that, you know, goes to the shelf and cleans everything. You're like, I'll tell you what, he's just high-spirited, isn't he? He's like, no, he's out of control is what he is. And you know, the kid that, you know, is just mouthing off and just being a brat and like, he didn't get a sleep. No, he's a jerk. It's not a jerk, but no, you know, a lot of times we can see through the smoke screen of everybody else's excuses. We've got that radar that can detect the fake immediately. In fact, if you're new, you're like, okay, who's that pastor for? Yeah, the bald guy. Well, who is he? You're like, we'll wait and see. It's funny, we can see the fake in everyone else's lives, but man, we are great at believing our own excuses. And so my point today, really the purpose, I want us to be asked this question, what if I took my next step? Because I think we've consumed too much time with making excuses as to why we can't do what God's calling us to, rather than dreaming about what could happen if we actually did what God's calling us to do. And I want us to dream as a church, because I'm convinced that we have only scratched the surface on what God wants to do in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community. I'm telling you guys, God has something that is better than Ephesians 3:20, one of the greatest prayers that is included in Scripture. I love Paul's prayer. He finishes it in Ephesians 3:20 by saying, now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, to him be the glory in the church forevermore. That's what I'm talking about. You take your biggest dream and God's like, yeah, you're thinking way too small, way too small. This is who God is. What if we started dreaming about what could happen if we obeyed rather than telling God about why we can't do what he's calling us to do? What if we took our next step? And so this is a little interactive here, but you have a message guide, or you should have picked it up. If you don't have one, we've got them right outside the doors. You are not going to distract me if you get up and go grab one. If you need to do that, whatever. You do that, if you have the app, you can follow along there. But you'll notice that at the top, there's a question or there's a blank for you to fill in, and we're not going to put an answer up on the screen because it's between you and God, okay? And so the question that I want you to think about right now, and if you know what it is, I want you to write it down right now, is what is the area in which God's calling you to grow right now? Okay? If you've got it, what's the area in which God is calling you to grow? If you know what it is, write it down, okay? Go ahead and just write it down right now. I'll give you time to do that. If you don't know what it is, don't make up something. Just maybe God will give you some clarity this morning, or even better, take this home, pray about it, but I want us to begin to think about this. What is the area in which God is calling me to grow right now? Now, if you wrote that down, some of you didn't write. You're just staring at me, so I know you didn't write it down. So here's the thing. Because, you know, if you write it down, then it's like, oh, I'm accountable for this, and so I don't want to be accountable. Now, I want to ask you something. Whether it's what you wrote down or what you've internalized, and you know what it is God's called you to do. Let's call out, what are some of the excuses we use for not taking our next step?
Too busy.
Too busy.
Too tired.
What's that?
Too tired.
Fear.
Unbelief.
Finances.
It
can cost too much, yeah. Anything else?
Do it tomorrow.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, that's good. I heard some over here. What?
I'll do it tomorrow.
I don't want to. I'm not ready. What was that?
I don't need to.
Man, these are great. Here's the thing. The reason I'm talking about this, maybe this is just personal therapy. I can be the king of excuses. But what I have seen over the last several years is that I have experienced growth when I've stopped playing games and I stopped with the excuses. Not that I still don't do it from time to time. But growth is experienced when I stop with the excuses and I respond in obedience to what God's calling me to. What if we took that next step? What could happen? Now, when I was a kid, I went to Sunday school. Any of the rest of you guys go to church that you went to Sunday school? Anybody do that? Did they sing like all those like Sunday school songs? Did you guys ever hear that Father Abraham had many sons, many sons? I did not ask you guys to sing with me. I didn't. Sheesh. I'm gonna tell you what. 11:30 is on fire today. You guys are, I don't know what's going on here today. This is great. Okay, so you had, that Father Abraham, which really is just like this motion song, you know. It was kind of like, it was like the hokey pokey of a Sunday school song, you know. It's your right leg. But we had that. We had all these, you know. Another one that I liked was, read your Bible, pray every day. And they had the whole thing. If you read your Bible, pray every day, you would start down like this, and you'll grow. Grow, and you'll grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And, you know, we'd stay on our tippy toes, and it was great. Here's the thing. Reading your Bible, praying every day, listen, intimacy with God is so valuable. We cannot know how we should grow. We don't know what God is calling us to. We don't know who we are unless we're in the Word. But it's overly simplistic to say that growth is just, hey, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow. If you don't even know what that means. Because the Bible is not like some magical formula. Hey, you know, if you read a few words out of this, you're going to grow. I just turned here, bad, says the buyer, but when he goes away, then he boasts. I don't know what that means, but you know, you could take a verse out of context, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to grow. You know what I'm saying? You know, pray. What's it mean? What's it mean to pray? We're actually going to talk about this next week. What if I pray dangerously? We're going to be talking about that next week. But you know, pray, you know, like when I pray for the food, Lord bless the food to our body in Jesus' name, amen. I'm growing. Well, you're growing because you're putting food in your body. But what I'm talking about here is there isn't some magic formula here of this isn't some magic book. No, it's a means by which we grow. And in fact, what I want to do before I get to the dream, and then we're going to pray together again before we leave here, I want us to talk about how growth happens. And so let me just start here. If you're following along, you can take notes. You've wrote down the thing in which God is calling you to grow, or you know something you're gonna. It's a question you're gonna pray about. First of all, growth begins with being born again. Growth begins by being born again. In Ephesians chapter 4, this is where we started last. Where we finished up last week. We're looking at being the church. Verse 1, Paul said, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And then he goes on. Later in Ephesians 4, we get to verse 11. We talked about he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, teachers, and to equip the saints. But there was a purpose for this, and we see this in verse 13. We were given them until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. And all the ladies are like, yeah, it's for the guys today. No, that's mature manhood, mature womanhood. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that, I love this, so that we may no longer be children. Flat out, guys, it's time we grew up. And God didn't call me here. When he called me here, he didn't call me to be some big administrator, to be some visionary leader, whatever that means. He didn't call me to be a fundraiser. He didn't call me to do lots of counseling, to visit people in hospitals. Now, do I do all of those from time to time? Yeah. But my primary calling was to be used by God to lead people into a season of growth. That's what God has called us. He's called us to grow. I feel like that's why I'm here. And what I've seen is that many times we remain children. We remain children. There are people here that maybe you've been serving God for 20, 30, 40 years, but you're still a child. In fact, here's how he describes children as we keep on reading in verse 14. Children are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You hear a pastor that just has some passion, enthusiasm. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go with what he says because he's excited about that. No, that's Now, we got to understand there's more to this than charisma and some new doctrine that is going to change, going to rock your world. Children are tossed to and fro, not just by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning. They are manipulated. They're primed for false teaching, for false teachers to manipulate them by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, I love this. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Here's what we got to understand. Growth begins by being born again. You cannot grow unless you've been born again. And so let me see this. We all come from a lot of different areas. I am in no way, my purpose this morning is not to talk anyone out of your faith in Christ. First of all, if I can talk you out of it, I'm not sure you had it. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I do want to make sure that I challenge you on something. I want to make sure that you understand what your faith is in. What is your faith in? Because we have to be born again, and born again is like, maybe you're new, it's like, I don't understand what that means. I mean, you can just in your notes, write down John 3. Jesus spends a lot of time breaking down what it means to be born again in John 3. I'm not going to get into that, but it's just the means by which we're saved from our sins. And there is something that takes place. There is a time in which we repent of our sins and we turn to Christ. We trust that Christ is the only one that can save us. And we believe in him. We believe in the work that he did on the cross, that was enough. And you're like, man, I don't understand enough of that. You need to be a disciple. We want to help you grow. We want to help you grow. But we've got to begin by being born again. And so where I say I want to challenge your faith, if your faith is based on the fact that you show up to church, that doesn't mean you've been born again. Lost people show up at church. If your faith is in, I'm a good person, I do good things, I unloaded the dishwasher last night, sorry. No, it's not that you do good things. Man, there's some lost people and unbelievers that do incredibly good things in the scheme of man, helping people and all of that. No, your faith is not found in anything but the fact that God's your only hope for salvation, and you understand that I don't have a shot unless God saves me. Honestly, we're not born again unless God chooses us. Ephesians 1:4 tells us that we were chosen by him before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Christ that we might be holy and blameless. And you're like, well, I'm not holy and blameless, so I'm out. Now, hold on a second. So that we might be holy and blameless. We are being made holy and blameless in this life. And there's coming a day when Christ comes back, and thank the Lord we are delivered from this world. We're with Christ in eternity, that he's going to finish the work that he started. But he is doing the work now and making us holy and blameless, okay? And so it's good that we understand this starts with being born again. And we're not born again out of our own volition. This is incredible. God chose us before the foundations of the world. Jesus chose us when he died for our sins on the cross. And the Holy Spirit chose us when he opened our eyes to our need of salvation. We were chosen in the past, we were chosen in the present, we are chosen for all eternity. And there's great assurance in this, but our assurance is not based on our efforts, it's based on what God has done, right? Okay, so we get on this. So growth requires being born again. But growth also, as we continue to look through this, requires a proper understanding of our identity. A lot of us want to go right into what I should do. Okay, now I'm a Christian, and I'm going to do all of these things for Christ. I'm going to do these great, great things. Man, I've got this great idea. I'm going to reach literally thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. Well, let me tell you this, Billy Graham. Before you get to maybe a platform, first of all, trust God with his calling instead of trying to invent one for him. God is more concerned with who you are than he is with what you do, because he knows that what we do will come out of our understanding of who we are. Does that make sense? We have to know whose we are, and our identity is found in Christ. Once again, I'm going to give you some extracurricular reading throughout the week. Right beside that note, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2. You'll see this phrase, in Christ, or through Christ, or for Christ. It shows up time and time again. It allows us to understand who we are through Christ. You see, we have to know that we're not who we used to be. How many of you have things in your past that you are ashamed of? Let me see your hands. Every hand should be up, all right? Unless you're Jesus and you're here today, your hands should be up. We have, and I will say this, if your hand isn't up, you need to have your eyes open to the fact that we have junk in our past. But what Satan wants to do is he wants to leave us in our past, and he wants to say that what we've done and who we were is who we currently are. And Jesus says that's not the case at all. If you have been set free, if the Son of Man, if you've been set free, you're just free for a moment. You are free indeed. There is an absolute freedom that comes. Our identity is not found in who we used to be. Thank God. I don't like who I used to be. And Satan will keep on saying, well, no. You're no saint. And he takes you back and wants to put your identity there. And no, our identity is in Christ. And we have to understand this. But I would say this, as we continue to look at what growth includes, another thing that is very important is that growth is developed by painful preparation. And this is the maturity part. You see, sometimes we put identity and maturity together. What I mean by that is that when we are saved, when we understand that we are a son or a daughter of God, that we think immediately, overnight, it's like Jesus had the wand and do-do-do-do-do, you know, and boom, just like that. I don't know what the do-do-do stand for. But anyway, he did this, and immediately, I'm perfect. I'm mature in Christ. Everything that's coming out of Scripture, everything that I do is noble and holy. No. There's a difference between maturity and identity. For instance, you know, I have two sons and a daughter. Let me just take my two sons, for example. Cole is my youngest. He's 10. Trey is my oldest. He's 18. They have a common identity. If we are in Christ, we all have a common identity. They're both my sons. There's a difference in maturity, though. Okay, if Trey starts doing some of the junk that Cole's doing, I'm like, bro, you're 18. Okay, you know better. We've talked about this. You know what I'm saying? So just because they're my sons, Cole wasn't born immediately. He's as mature as his brother. No. We grow into this, and the way that we grow is through painful preparation. I like to call it God's boot camp. All right? You know, our endurance was built. In fact, you know what? Turn over to James 1 real quick. I want to look at James 1 just for a second. James is just—he's kind of a hard-hitting writer. He doesn't mince words. He just jumps right in with both feet. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 2, I was looking at, as I was studying about this whole thing of growth here in Ephesians 4. I was coming across different references, and man, so much in Scripture is talking about growth. James says this. He said, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And you're like, perfect, there we go again. No, listen to me. He's talking about maturity. We're growing up in Christ. You want your kids to mature, right? Please tell me yes. I want my kids to mature. I challenge them in this area. And he's talking about this, and he said, let steadfastness have its full effect. Be patient in this development. Be steady in this ongoing growth. Take your next steps that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then as I was studying through that, I went through the book of James, and he has this list of things. You might need to grow up if, and he just has this list. You remember Jeff Foxworthy? You might be a redneck, you know? You might be a redneck if you make change in the offering plate at church. You might be a redneck if your wife says, "Honey, could you get the transmission out of the bathtub?" You know what I'm saying? You know, he built a whole career on this. James was the king of this. He goes through this. You might be immature, and he just lists some things. If you're arrogant, if you don't know how to control your tongue, if you don't exercise godly wisdom, if you show partiality, you're only interested in people if you can get something out of them, if you're judgmental, if you have faith but not works that accompany, if you're jealous of other believers and you're filled with selfish ambition, or if you want to be in Christ and in the world at the same time, he just goes through this. He said, you need to grow up. You need to leave these things behind. And this, you read through James, you're going to know this isn't an exhaustive list. They're just examples. But what he's saying here in these first few verses is that there's something that happens even through trials. And many times God allows us to go through maturity and to experience trials. And even as we keep on, if you keep on reading through James, it talks of tests of many kinds, through trials and tests. We are strengthened, and many times it's in those trials and those tests that we grow, but it hurts. And one of the excuses that we often use when it comes to why am I not taking my next step is, it comes back to the saying, I don't want to hurt, I want to be comfortable. And the older I get, the more I'm in this, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like change. I didn't realize that's who I was. I guess I am. I don't know. Unless it's my change, then I want everybody else to like it. You know what I'm saying? And listen, you guys are the same way. Oh, my word. Did we introduce a new song? We'll get, hey, we're singing too many new songs. You don't like change. You don't sing the same old songs. Every time we change a look up on the platform, like every couple years or so, we'll do some up here, and immediately have people, oh, I don't like the new look. It's terrible. It looks terrible. I hate it. Don't like it. Like the old one. Well, here's the thing. You said the same thing about the thing you now love when we first introduced it. The reality is, I get it. We don't like change. And for many of us, the reason we don't want to grow in Christ, we were passionate and on fire when we started following Jesus, and we slowed down because to keep on growing requires that we change, and change is painful, and many times what's going to bring about this growth is going to hurt, and so we just make excuses. I'm going to sit on my butt and not do anything. And there are people here, you've been serving the Lord for many, many years, and you've got to a place, you are very comfortable right now. You are very comfortable, but you're not growing. And honestly, my point this morning is not just to irritate you for irritation's sake, but I do want to get rid of your excuses. Because we're not called to stay the same. We're called to grow. And our issue is we want the fruit of boot camp without going through boot camp. We want to grow without the testing. We want to grow without the trials, but the reality is growth is developed by painful preparation. And can I tell you this? God has a plan for your life. That's not just some like spiritual thing that we throw out. Ephesians 2:10, it says that we're his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which were established before the foundation of the world. That's mind-blowing. God's like, yeah, I'm gonna create Keith, and I got this plan for him. Yeah, I'm gonna create Rodney. Rodney, I got something for you. And this is before, man, centuries before we show up on the scene. This is God. He has a plan for our life, but many times we want the plan without the preparation. But growth always involves a painful preparation. So can I just say this? If you're here today and you're looking at what you wrote down at the top of your paper, this is an area in which God's called me to grow. And if God's been calling you to grow in this area for quite some time, I want you to also identify the excuses. And I want you to call out the excuses, okay? Call them out, because that's what they are. There comes a point where our delay in obedience becomes our denial. And guys, I want to be very careful here, but we cannot call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ when every time he calls us to take our next step, we say, yeah, nope, I'm not ready. That's not me. God's... okay. Let's just say this. Many of us want, we have these grandiose dreams of where we're going. If God would give us these grandiose dreams, and by the way, I believe that he's able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think. I believe that with every part of me. But he prepares us for this, because if he gave us where we're ultimately going to end up in this, where we are right now without the preparation, our character isn't sufficiently developed enough to hold up under the weight of what he's called us to. Be careful of what you're asking God for, and make sure that God's timing, and that you're subject to God's timing rather than trying to subject God to your sense of timing. That's not in my notes, but that was good preaching anyway. There's this painful preparation that takes place. And the pain is not to break us. The pain is intended to make us, to mature us. We are called to grow up in every way. And so we're asked this question, what if? What if I actually took this next step? What difference would this make? You see, the next thing that I see that goes right in line with this is that growth always has a price tag. Growth always has a price tag. You know what? You know it's getting serious when I get this out. Where I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk. You're like, okay, great, here we go. But I want to do this for a second. God is still changing me, guys. And hopefully you get that. You don't have this weird view of a pastor or of me. It's like he's where he needs to be. Thank God I'm not who I used to be. I'm also glad I haven't arrived yet, because if this is arriving, hello. God's still changing me. But I've learned that my growth, and I'm just going to share I'm going to share a little part of my testimony right now, okay? My growth has come there's been a price to pay. And I can go back to various points in which this happened. I get asked a lot, man, why do you think God's blessing Grace? Why is God using Grace the way that he is? And I'm not using this as a way to pat ourselves on the back, because honestly, we're just part of the body of Christ. Anything that God's doing here is a blessing of God, and I'm so grateful for the work of God. But there are there's been a cost to what's happened. I'm not sitting here, you're not sitting where you are, because God saved you, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you're pre-programmed, you got everything together. No, he's grown you. When God set me free, I knew of the big sins of my life. I knew the big stuff that I couldn't break, the addictions that controlled me, and God set me free from them. I'm so thankful for that. What I was blind to was the respectable sin in my life. And some of that respectable sin is just doing what I want to do. And God, it's been a painful journey. And honestly, there have been times that the pain hasn't just been experienced by me, it's been experienced by my whole family. We've gone through this together. He's stretched and grown our family. I remember when I came here as a youth pastor in 2004, I wasn't ready for this. And there were so many humbling things that happened in that year and a half of ministry as a youth pastor, because I wasn't intellectually prepared. I wasn't emotionally prepared, spiritually prepared. Did God use me? I know God used me, but what I'm saying that, and God called me, and but in this whole thing of, am I ready? No, he humbled me. And going to, any of us that go to the gym after you haven't worked out for like 2-3 years, it's humbling. You get beside the person's like, you know, and you're like, oh, you know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, what is my problem? I can't do this. And if you aren't willing to be humbled, you'll never grow. If you're not willing to pay the price, you'll never grow. I remember in 2006, when God called me to, God had forgiven me my sins years ago, and I talked about some of those big sins, and though there were a few people in my life that knew, when God said, hey, you know what? That needs to be part of your testimony. And he asked me to come clean and to be able to talk about it. I didn't want to do that because I was like, man, I got a reputation. And I paid a price. When I came here, I've gone through times of depression and doubt, and I've been accused of things and stupid, and it hurts like the dickens. And I don't even know what that means, but it hurts. But God has been using these things to grow me. There is no gain, you know, the old without any pain. It's just part of this. And so my question to you is this. Are you willing to pay the price? Because the last thing I want to tell you is that this is simple. Growth requires us taking the next step. We can sit in these seats and feel good about ourselves, but honestly, guys, I don't want us to feel good about ourselves, and I want you to feel bad about ourselves. You know, this isn't an esteem issue whatsoever. This is a thing. I want us to follow Jesus. And honestly, this is one of those things. If I ever got to the place, like, you know what, all I'm doing is I'm becoming. It's like a cruise ship entertainment director. If that's what I'm doing here, I literally, you guys need me to leave, and I need to leave. Because God hasn't called us to be entertained. God hasn't called us to play games. God's called us to grow. But I'm convinced that if we take our next step, that, man, what I was talking about last week, all of a sudden, man, we see God doing some incredible things. God has laid a vision on my heart. It's not time to share it yet. But it's going to take people that are sold out to God, that are growing. The vision that God's laid on my heart, it's something it scares the snot out of me. I'm scared to death. It's so big. I can't do this. It's going to take the church, but it's going to take people who are growing. It's not going to take people that just are nominal. We just fill the pews. It's going to take people who are taking their next steps. And I'm convinced that what God has for us is so much greater than what we can ever imagine. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to dream about what would happen if you took your next step. Now don't be, if you know what your next step is, take your next step, for crying out loud. Quit making excuses. He's high-spirited. No, he's not. Take your next step, okay? But I want you to begin to dream about what God could be doing in your life. There's not enough dreaming happening these days. We don't have a holy imagination. We're just getting through the day. We're trying to stay afloat financially. We're trying to raise kids. We're trying to make decent decisions that produce decent result. We're trying to get our own. You know, we spend a lot of time focused on just maintaining. I want us to start getting past the maintenance mode. I want us to start dreaming about what God could begin to do in our families, in our church, in our communities. Man, I want us to dream about what he could do in changing us. It's only going to happen as we take our next steps. What's the area God's called you to grow in? Okay, here's the deal. I don't want you turning in your paper to me with the area in which God's calling you to grow with your name at the top. Like, yeah, I figure you need to hold me account. No, I don't. That, you know, here's the deal. It's between you and God. But what I want us to do to close our time, let's stand. Let's do this. We're gonna close. I'm kind of going with it today. Got about 4.5 hours sleep last night, so I'm kind of out of it, but it's all good. I want us to close with prayer. I want you to circle back up with the group that you're with, unless you didn't like those people and want to go somewhere else. All right? So here's what I want us to do. We're gonna close our time, and what I want us to do, I want us to take a minute, and I mean a minute. There is not time for you to tell a story in this time, okay? I just want you to mention one word or just a quick phrase. This is the biggest temptation, the biggest excuse that I usually make for not growing. I just want you to say that, and then I want you to take time and just select a leader again, just to lead out in prayer. I want you to pray for each other, and then once we prayed for a little bit, I'm going to close out with a word of prayer, and then we'll go. But let's just, man, call it out. What's the biggest excuse that you're making when it comes to taking your next step? Once you've named an excuse, somebody just lead out in prayer. I'm going to lead out here in prayer in just a couple seconds. If you're praying, keep on praying. I'm just going to close with a prayer from Ephesians 3. Lord, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. No excuses. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, listen, here's the deal. Don't go anywhere. Stay in your group. Hold on a second. We got a guest reception out there. If we haven't met, stop by there so we can meet. Tonight at 4 p.m., we got our Next Steps class. I can't wait to teach that. But before you leave, if you don't know the people in your group, get the first name of the people in your group and pray for them. Pray for their crazy excuses, because they're going to be praying for your crazy excuse this week. And then you're dismissed. Have a great week.